Joining us now in studios, we have three people from the outfit, the organization called Northfield Shed. Shed stands for Northfielders for Sustainable Housing, Environments, and Development. S-H-E-D. They're formerly the Friends of Craywood. We have joining us right now, Diane Angel. Did I get that right, Diane? It is Angel, right?
Yep, you did.
Diane Angel. Bob Thacker is with us. And Diane Skirman.
Kathy.
Or excuse me, Kathy Skirman. I'll get these right. I apologize for that. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't we just kind of go around, get to know each of you just a little bit, and you know what your background is, and mainly in relationship to Northfield's West Side.
Yeah, I've lived on the West Side for about 24 years, and I also teach at St. Olaf. I'm a biology professor up there.
All right.
And I live on the West Side as well, and I've lived here for almost 7 years, and just absolutely love Northfield. I think it's an amazing little town.
All right, and Kathy?
I've lived for almost 34 years on the West Side, and I am retired from St. Olaf. I was the Alumni and Parent Relations Associate Director.
All right. Let's talk about the organization known as SHED. It's formerly Friends of Craywood. I guess, why don't we go through a little bit of history, for starters, with this. This proposal to this development was proposed, I believe, really earlier this year. It might have been sometime last year. But when did you find out about this?
Well, we found out about it at a neighborhood meeting in December over a Zoom meeting with Rebound and partners. They came to us to give us their plan. One thing I would like to just say is I'm on the Facebook administrator, and things that we've been hearing, questions, are, I just want to clarify. One, the property is still owned by the Paulsons. Two, the property was never put on for public sale. And three, people say, well, why are you getting involved in this? Well, Rebound has applied for $3 million in TIF funds, and so the public is able to get involved and comment on it. So just wanted to clarify those things.
And those are all three good things to know. Let's talk about some of the concerns that either you have or that you have heard. As you had mentioned, social media has been one of the things that have brought a lot of people into this organization. So tell us about your concerns.
Well, there are several concerns. The biggest one is the environmental concerns that we have. I'm choking here a bit. The environmental concerns, and you know, Diane is really an expert on that area. Also, the whole sense of affordable housing and protecting the property environmentally. So, Kathy, maybe you can start with the overview.
Okay. Well, I always like to have Diane talk about the bee, because I have my shirt on that says, let it be. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Diane.
We do have a federally endangered species living on several sides of the property, which is pretty unusual. So the rusty patch bumblebee, again, is a federally endangered species, so there's some specific legal rules about preserving that population. And these are confirmed observations, and sometimes people get confused with this bee and another bee. So these observations have been confirmed by experts up at the University of Minnesota and the state through Bumblebee Watch. And we're pretty special here in Northfield to have this bee. So it is only found in some parks up in the cities in terms of Minnesota. So it's very unusual. It is not found on Carlton's natural areas. It is very, very rare on St. Olaf's natural areas. But it's actually relatively common in the neighborhoods around the west side, but not the east side. Only a single observation has been confirmed on the east side.
How long have you been watching for the rusty patch bumblebee?
Several years. So we have surveyed with students, summer research students, at a number of different prairies in the area. And so it's unusual to find them. They're very, very rare. One in a thousand bees, bumblebees, these are the big fuzzy ones that you might see, is a rusty patched.
Yeah, I've been looking for them really all summer and haven't haven't identified one, but it's they don't stand still long enough.
No, the trick is...
There's a little rusty patch on them.
The trick is to use your phone and take a video.
Okay.
And then you can slow it down and see the rusty patch surrounded by yellow on their rear end, basically.
All right. Now, as far as you'd mentioned there's some type of federal restrictions involved and what you can do to... How does that... relate to the development? Can you give us some indication of what that would mean to this proposed development?
That is why we are suggesting that the city complete an environmental assessment. So there's a formal state process for exploring the environmental ramifications of developments. And there's a process that the state recommends, and the city can take up that process, and it's in the Land Development Code that they are able to recommend that process, just so we know what is on the property before it is developed.
From the environmental standpoint, are there more concerns in addition to that?
Yes. This is really one of the last urban forests in Northfield, and there are over 1,000 trees on the land. People talk about, oh, it's a Christmas tree farm, you know, just little trees. But there are over 1,000 trees that are over 12 inches in diameter that have been identified. And the plan that is before the council is to basically clear cut over 800 of those trees. So it would be mowing down our forest. We think that this is a gem, and we're underparked on the west side. They took away one of our parks when they built the new elementary school. And so we think that this would be an ideal opportunity to create a nature reserve. We are prepared, actually, to, if this falls through, if this proposal falls through and the Paulson land is available, we are prepared to fundraise and draw resources together to save this forest and keep it as a natural space. Not a park with jungle gyms and swings and all that stuff, but a place that is protected, is secure, and is accessible to the kids right across the street. So.
Once again, we are talking to some people from Northfield Shed. We're talking with Bob Thacker, Kathy Skirman, and also Diane Angel. Let's talk about the concern about the number of people, traffic flow, a lot of people putting into a smaller space, the density unit. There have been some concerns about that. Who would like to address that?
Yeah, I think when we first were forming our group, there were four main concerns. It was the bumblebee, the green space, truly affordable housing for our workforce, home ownership in particular, and then the safety issues. We all live and walk around the neighborhood, and we know how much traffic there is. I walk my dog every day, and I try to cross over Lincoln Parkway, and often, even if I'm in the crosswalk, cars are not stopping for me. There was a traffic study done, but that was done in terms of automobiles and cars and how, you know, cars get from point A to point B. We're saying, you know, it's a school area. We need to do a pedestrian safety study, and that's what we're also asking for.
The you mentioned housing and affordable housing. Northfield has a... some would call it an extreme shortage of housing going on right now. Nothing like we've seen in at least in my 30-plus years here. Talk about that housing angle. They're proposing to put in some what is being termed, I guess, is affordable housing for those workers who make, I think, at a 60% of the median income or so. This, on the surface, looks like a pretty good project for affordable housing. What are your concerns?
Yeah, I think on the surface it does, but as you dig deeper into the statistics, you'll find that our workforce, many of them are single family, single earner families making $14 an hour, and affordability for them would be $728 a month. Even the affordable units that Rebound is proposing for a studio is going to be $828. For a two-bedroom, it's $1,075. So, yes, it's affordable, but affordability is such a flexible, foggy term. You really have to dig into the data to say, oh, this is affordable. And what we would like to see is affordable home ownership. Our neighbors are telling us that they want to own a piece of that American dream. They want to own some land. They want to own their home. They're tired of being warehoused into apartment buildings. And the only way to build family wealth is by being able to buy a home. And homes are expensive. And so really to get affordable home ownership, we need to form partnerships with the city, with nonprofits. We're also able to join in that. We'd like to partner with other agencies because the housing that's not being built in Northfield is affordable home ownership for our workforce.
Boy, that sounds easier said than done, though. You know, land cost, everything is just expensive. I mean, if you'd like to buy a home in Northfield, you've got to come with $300,000 in this day and age. Making that affordable, that's a big stretch. There's, between point A and point B.
There's the builders have said, excuse me, that it's impossible to build a home under $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's a group in Minneapolis which has formed and is building modular homes that include the land for under $250,000, actually under $200,000. And we think those should be pursued here, that kind of opportunity. You know, the builders are saying we can't do it. Well, there are people who can. And so we feel that all the opportunities really have not been explored. Back to the subject of apartments, there was a study done by the Planning Commission, the AHRA, that determined that in the next 5 years we need 39 apartments, individual units. And that's conservative, but you know the developer is proposing over 100 apartments in an area that you know is really not suited to that. Where they're placing them is, or where they would like to place them, is basically in a food desert. We're a mile and a half from the city. There is land all over the city, and things like the Fifth Street Lofts, which were very successful because it was the location. They're within feet of all the goods and services. So, and there are spaces the developer owns, by estimate, about 10 spaces here in the city, right in town, that could be developed, including probably what will happen with the Archer House. And so there's opportunity for apartments that are perfectly located. Other cities are doing this really well. And so, you know, just a side note, I invested in the Fifth Street Lofts. I think it's a great idea. And I think Brett Reese and Steve Schmidt are fine people, but I think, you know, good people can have bad ideas, and I think this is one.
You, in the flyer that you have been passing out, at least the information that I got from you, it says, it also has a column of what you support. What would you support for that particular property? You had mentioned a parkland before, but Northfield right now is, it looks like the city, I mean, within their comprehensive plan and within some of their strategic planning, they have identified some of this infill as a need to get some housing in there. Would you go for a smaller development there as opposed to parkland? What is there a comfort zone number for you?
I mean, I think we have to say we don't speak for the entire group. Part of our group is listening to ideas and having people share what they want. I think people are rallying around the parcel of land because it's such a precious resource in terms of the trees and the bees. So some people would like to see development housing on there, but careful development. Don't just plow down all the trees and plop in a huge apartment building. Let's be thoughtful. Let's look forward-looking. Let's build something maybe like Hillcrest Village that is really future-looking development. So I think people would be comfortable with that kind of environmental-friendly development and neighborhood-building development. Because again, like I said, our neighbors would like to own homes and form, you know, neighborhood communities, not be placed in a big apartment building.
All right, we're just about out of time, but I want to give you an opportunity. Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like to bring up?
I think that it's really important to understand that we are in favor of housing. We're in favor of apartments. But we also are in favor of protecting our natural resources and saving our environment. And we're in a critical point with the environment. So mowing down, you know, 1,000 trees and replacing them with saplings isn't environmentally smart.
All right. Anything else?
That's it. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you so much
for
coming on.
We certainly
appreciate you coming on. Once again, the Planning Commission will be addressing this this coming Thursday night, and people are welcome, I believe, at that point to
absolutely
to say a few words.
Come and join us.
Come and join them.
All right.
And that'll be at the City Hall Council Chambers, I believe. All right. Thank you once again.
Thank you again.
Once again, that is Diane Angel, Bob Thacker, and Kathy Skirbin. Once again, with Northfield Shed. That meeting will be posted online, or the information on the meeting will be posted on our website. Of course, you can get more at the city's website as well. We got Rich coming in, local news headlines in just a moment. Minnesota.